This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is on the air. This is episode 389 for April 21st, 2015. My name is Martin Spriggs, and alongside with my co-hosting, co-podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Did you say 389? Are we closing in on 400 here?
It's only 11 away. We should be excited about that, but that means the Wells Tech Conference is only 11 weeks away, and that's kind of scary.
And exciting. But yeah, the Wells Tech Conference is kind of dominating my dreams these days. I keep dreaming about more that we should be planning for. And yep. I think we've got a lot planned. I'm really excited about the event and really excited about all the new names that I'm seeing registering for the conference. We're going to get to meet a lot of new faces.
From all over the country.
That's
true. Or the world. International guests will be joining us. So.
Yeah. Going to be a great event. If you guys haven't signed up yet, you can go over to wells.net/wellstechconf and get registered. And there's giveaway items to read about. There's an Ignite session where we're going to have the attendees share some of the things going on in their own tech and ministry lives. And so just plenty to be excited about the conference.
Yeah, and a good reason not to delay is that our classes and sessions are filling up. So if you wait till the very end, chances are you may not get what you want. So sooner rather than later is the advice. So get over there and sign up and don't run the risk of a less than ideal experience. So that we can definitely see, Sally, already that some sessions are really, really popular. So it's important to get over there and get your sign up in. I'm just looking forward to meeting a lot of these people, a lot of Wells Tech listeners, watchers that we've maybe never even heard from. We had Missouri Synod pastor sign up the other day, who we had no idea existed, and happy that he decided to join us. So shout out to him. We're looking forward to meeting a lot of new people.
Definitely. And, you mentioned that the sessions are filling up, and a lot of them have really great attendance. There's some really great options there. I'm getting more and more excited about it. I don't know how I can be in 10 different places at the same time, but hopefully I can catch a whole bunch of that good stuff being
good
shared.
Good problem to have, yeah.
Definitely.
Speaking of Wells Tech Conference, we continue our series of trying to get session speakers on the show, do a quick little interview, a little tease for what they're going to be talking about. And one of those popular sessions, I'm sure, is going to be the one on worship planning. Worship Planning in a Mobile World is the title of this session. Matt Wesselow is the speaker. We know Matt, both you and I know Matt from a long time ago. Matt has been on the Technology Advisory Committee for many years. And he's also, I serve with him on the technology subcommittee of the Hymnal Committee. And Sally, you go way back a little bit with Matt too, right?
Got some Texas ties with Matt and his lovely wife, Amy. They were members in our congregation down in Texas at one point. And now they're members in Pflugerville, Texas. It's a daughter congregation or a sister congregation of Holy Word in Austin, Texas. And doing some really creative things in terms of worship down there. I was really interested in all that Matt shared. And I think our listeners will be as well.
Yeah, Matt is a unique blend of technologist, musician, dedicated church worker, and he brings all that to the session and the interview. So let's listen to that interview, and we'll come back once it's done and chat a little bit. Continuing our series of interviews with Wells Tech Conference presenters, and today we're pleased to have Matt Wesselow join us. Matt is from Holy Word in Pflugerville, Texas. I love saying that, Pflugerville. That's cool. He's the worship leader there. He's also, a member of the Hymnal Committee, the Technology Subcommittee of the Hymnal Committee. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. I enjoyed a week in Austin the other day, which is just a little piece down the road from Pflugerville, and can't wait till I go back. So
yeah.
Nice little town you got there.
And nice to have Texas represented at the WellsTech Conference. I guess we've actually got registrants from California, from all over the country, so it's pretty cool. We're going to have all these folks coming up our direction this summer.
Nice.
Yeah, Pastor Patterson was asking how to sign up, so hopefully he can get
awesome.
Up as well. So.
Awesome, yeah.
Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself, your congregation, family, work, etc. Just kind of the Reader's Digest version would be awesome.
Sure. Yeah, I live in Austin now. We've got three kids, but none of them are with us at the moment. Two of them in college, and one's graduated. And but my wife and I are here since we moved here back in 2010. I work for Hewlett-Packard, and we got involved with Holy Word. In fact, right at the point, it was a month after Holy Word had started something brand new, which was a second site congregation. And started out in a school, worshiping in a school, rented school. Right now we've sort of upgraded, as it were, to we're renting a church building on Sunday mornings. They use it on Saturday, we use it on Sunday. And it's actually next door, adjacent to the property where we plan to build. And so that's pretty exciting. And never had a chance to be involved with a ground floor, you know, brand new, almost a mission startup kind of an environment. But we've got the mother congregation and really the primary site just 10 miles away. So it's pretty cool. So I guess I'm kind of branching into all of those other subjects and covering
so
that.
You're into tech and you're into music. That's kind of one of our favorite combinations, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That is for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to have you on the show today because of your involvement at WellsTech Conference, and specifically you're speaking on worship planning, which is our discussion topic for the day. I'm guessing that somehow, with all your responsibilities at Holy Word, you're perhaps involved in worship planning there. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that.
Yeah, absolutely. When we moved here, it was about a month after we had moved that we got involved with the worship at the church there, and in particular just being musically a part of it, my wife singing and myself playing piano. And that sort of grew into being directly involved in the worship planning process. It was sort of a team thing initially, and we've kind of, as we've started to use different tools and realize how busy everyone's schedule is, sort of morphed into a everybody independently collaborates on building our worship plan. So yeah, it's pastor, the pastor at our site. We're blessed enough to have a pastor at each site, a main pastor at each site. Pastor at our site, Pastor Darren Lindemann, is him and I pretty much lay out initial thoughts, and then we've got some other people involved who also participate in leading the worship. And so they throw in their thoughts, and we put it all together in a pot and pick what's going on for the next couple of Sundays. We'd love to get farther out ahead of that, but that's where we're at right now.
So kind of the background that you have probably led you to a hunt for some tools that you could use, some planning tools. Tell us a little bit about what you found as you were trying to, you know, make this a more friction-free process in this worship planning effort.
Yeah, and some of the challenges too that we faced. You know, the as you could imagine, kind of in an environment where we're renting the church, so it's a setup, tear down every Sunday, kind of a thing. We don't have anything permanently in there, and we're kind of in that transitory nature with the worship too. And we're doing something different. The home congregation, or the Austin site congregation, would be what you'd call very traditional, and we're leaning more towards the contemporary side of it in the Pflugerville congregation. And so we had different musical needs. We're not just playing directly out of the hymnal, for instance, and we have no hymnals. So we were using worship folders initially. Now we've gone with projection. From a planning perspective, then, all of those things kind of came together to say we need something where we can capture the information that people can get to it when they need it, and we can also use it to interact with our volunteers. And what we ended up with it kind of all happened at the same time a couple of years ago, was a tool called Planning Center Online. And that is, the name really doesn't give it away, but it is specifically a worship planning tool and a site that allows us to capture everything related to what we're trying to do, capture the volunteer information to contact them, schedule them, remind them, set up rehearsals, and we actually can store digitally the information, like for instance about the songs, digitally as much information, not only the scores, you know, that would allow people to practice, but the MP3s or links to the YouTube videos or other potential things. We also can tie it into projection, although we haven't gone that route yet. But we do projection also. So, yeah, that's what we're primarily using.
So is this where you start when you sit down and say, hey, we're gonna start planning, and you dive into this tool and start adding content, and then that ultimately gets shared around as necessary?
The real start of it is we've got our pastoral staff. We have the district president, Don Patterson, and then Pastor Dan Lightnin, who was coming in to assist him at the Austin congregation, and Pastor Darren. They all three to get together. They call themselves the Triple D. And they get together and do the overall plan for the Holy Word, both congregations. And it's that sort of skeleton that we start with. So they give us Bible readings, for instance, the theme. Sometimes that's all we get, the theme. We don't know what the readings are going to be yet, but here's the theme. Start with that as the shell, and then everybody collaboratively fills in bits. And, you know, sometimes we get more participation, more ideas, and sometimes we get minimal and we've got to fill it in and make it work. So
what were kind of the big wins by going digital? What really helped you out and saved you some time or made things a little bit better for you?
I think some of the big wins are for the people that are participating. You know, our goal always is for excellence, you know, in worship, and getting people together to rehearse. We get an hour a week is what we can get from folks. But sometimes they need more than that, and so having the audio digitally available, or the links to the videos digitally available, and not only available but easily available. When you get invited to participate, you get a link that you can click on that will pull everything for that service together in one playlist, and then you can rehearse along with it, for instance. That's kind of the goal there, as long as we get it in the right key. And so on. But yeah, that's where digital has really helped us, in addition to the music itself. We have experimented with trying to use iPads or, you know, the smaller tablets as the devices that we read off of, with limited success. Some of us need bigger print than that.
So
But what about other tools besides the Planning Center Online, on the music side of things?
Yeah, that's something we've come across, is there are some really great resources, you know, when you're looking for alternatives to either hymnody-based music or even things that are totally not, you know, what you'd hear on the radio with the Christian contemporary music. We've got hymn charts is a really great site that we've found that gives us sort of the best of both worlds. It's got a bunch of hymn-based tunes that are set to guitar-friendly keys, singer-friendly keys, and then also if you have peripheral musicians like violin or flute or C instruments, B flat instruments, or that, those are also present in these arrangements. And it's HymnCharts is a subscription-based service. Basically, if you pay the subscription, you get access to all of the content for the time that you own the subscription. And so, yeah, we've mined that pretty thoroughly. I'd say, on average, we probably use a HymnCharts tune every other Sunday, if not every Sunday.
Wow. Great resources. And I'm guessing those are some of the kind of things you plan to share in the session that you'll be leading at Wells Tech Conference. What else can people expect from your session?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I want to show at the session is, of course, is, you know, the session title is called Worship Planning in a Mobile World. And so how we do this interaction with the people that are participating, the people that are planning, and also I want to show the differences between how our two sites do it differently. The Austin site sits down and has a meeting in which they do the planning, and they also capture the information at that time. So we're doing it sort of asynchronously, kind of, you know, email or text-based, and they're doing it sort of phone call, sit down, you know, let's have this meeting, both trying to accomplish the same result, and we're both using Planning Center to capture the information and work from that. You still have the digital divide shows up, and we still have some folks who, you know, prefer to have the personal tap on the shoulder, hey, could you sing this Sunday? Or this coming Sunday or whatever. And sure. Some people feel it's a little too impersonal to get that email invitation. I think we're turning the corner on that. So, but yeah, that's some of the other tools. One of the other things that, especially with a lot of stuff you'll hear on the radio, I think I'd mentioned in an email to you, Song Select is the part of CCLI that lets you get your hands on a lot of contemporary music. The problem with that is most of the time there's just lead sheets available, and not every one of us traditionalists is too comfortable with reading from lead sheets and making it sound good and interesting. So praisecharts.com is a place where you can go and get the full written out arrangement of, for instance, a song that you may have heard on the radio, and it would just be awesome for your service, but you need the music. We do run into limitations there. Sometimes they're not always in a great congregational singable key. Our interest is not singing to the congregation, but with. And so you always got to be careful. Before you pull out the credit card and buy it, make sure you play through that preview and make sure it's going to be something that's singable.
I sense a theme here. I don't know about you, Martin. Were you picking up on that key thing being really important?
Especially for us tone deaf people. Yeah. Got anything for that? An auto tune.
They do have, yes, yes.
So the part, the mobile world part, that's more about our society itself versus, you know, the tools that you would use. Okay.
Yes, yes. Although that's one of the things that Planning Center has done really well is their mobile applications are just stellar. I mean, you could pretty much, except for the kind of administrator level planning, you can pretty much do everything on your phone, for instance, using the app that you could do in the web-based application. The administration, the planning of it, that's much easier on a computer just because of the level of control and interaction that you need. But for rehearsal purposes, bringing up music, looking it up, seeing who's on the schedule, finding out, sending an email to somebody who's on the schedule, adding a person to the schedule, that can be done all via the mobile apps, which is pretty impressive, to have a tool that well developed. But they've been doing it for a long time, and it's a thoroughly, you know, what you'd call a Web 2.0 tool. We've been really impressed with it and are just really scratching the surface of the capabilities for us.
I suppose, Matt, one of the benefits of doing this is you have a recorded history and can actually go back To last year's Easter or to last year's Palm Sunday or whatever, and get some ideas or make sure you're not maybe repeating. So you've got kind of that digital roadmap that allows you to, you know, even have better insight into where you want to go.
That's true. The song library itself keeps track of the last time you did one, so that's one of the things that pops up when you're looking at a list of songs. Oh, yeah, that was, you know, last February or whatever. Yeah.
That memory thing goes along with the eyesight thing.
I was thinking the same.
Indeed.
What you did last week.
Indeed.
Well, we're really looking forward to having you up in here to Wisconsin.
Looking forward to it.
We'll warm it up for you so you'll feel at home. But worship planning in a mobile world. So any of our listeners who are interested in that, sounds like you will be well fed with lots of information. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And again, thanks to Matt for taking the time to join us from sunny Pflugerville, Texas. Sally, that's one of those sessions that I think probably will be well attended and have probably a lot of variety because there's so many different approaches to worship planning, and it sounds like he's going to be able to bring what they do from, you know, two different kind of worship styles at least, and give maybe the pluses and minuses and maybe an honest impression of how they do it there.
Yeah, I think it would be worth sitting in just to see the demo of Planning Center Online. I wasn't familiar with that software, but it's certainly a need in every congregation we've ever been a part of to pull together all these varied resources. You know, you have everything from your organist and choir directors and special musicians and things like that. You've got your ushers to consider, your altar guild setting up for communion and things like that. It's a lot of different irons in the fire there, and having that collaborative environment seems like a big plus. Now, there's ways to collaborate without that software. You could set up your own collaborative environment, and we actually heard from some people this week that are doing that kind of thing with Dropbox or with Google Drive. So, you know, but collaboration in the cloud seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, and almost a requirement now to effectively do it, or at least efficiently do it, in, as Matt mentioned, in this mobile world or mobile environment that we're living in. Why don't you share a couple of those resources that came in throughout the week? We put out a little request over the listserv and got some good responses back about how people are handling their own worship planning and some great templates that we want to share.
Right. First up, I got an email from Naomi Hinkle, who's at Mount Calvary in Redding, California, and she shared this this template, as you said, that they use there at Mount Calvary. Her pastor works with it in the cloud. They are the ones that use Dropbox. I think she went as far to say as Dropbox is God's gift to us in the ministry or something along those lines. They really depend on it heavily for the sharing process. So it's basically a document where he puts in the different components of the worship and any special events like baptism, where they're going to pull in the baptism rite into the worship or whatever, choir songs, responsive calls to worship and things like that, all included in the template that they make use of. And they just, he pretty much does it, and she pretty much builds the worship folder off of what he supplies to her through this templated method. Then we heard from a couple of dueling pastors who are doing some really creative things with Google Drive. First up, Pastor Stephen Daly from St. Paul in South Haven, Michigan. And we've captured his email and stored it online so you can reference it at the links that we provide in the show notes. But he talks about using Google Sheets and the fact that it's collaborative and accessible from any type of device, really. There's mobile apps for it and everything. Very straightforward for people that aren't comfortable with technology so much or real tech savvy. But then he goes into some of the minuses of the Google Sheets methodology as well. It's more manual and things like that. He also makes use of the Christian Worship Google Calendar. So at some time, I think we've had this out here maybe 5 years or more now, but sometime in the past, I believe it's Pastor John Schrader down in Georgia, who's a member of the Commission on Worship, puts together the lectionary calendar, the lectionary series in iCal format, and we're able to put it out here on a Google Calendar. So you can actually use the Google Calendar link here and subscribe to it in your own calendar. And then for each worship opportunity, it has the readings, the supplemental lectionary, the prayers and verse of the day, hymn of the day, and other hymn selections. So just having that handy in your Google Calendar can really save you a lot of time. And then finally, we heard from Pastor Rob Gunther, who responded to the listserv post. And he actually uses a similar Google Sheet methodology to Pastor Daly, but he has his a little more automated. So it's not just quite manual. He has the entire year out in a spreadsheet, and then he has a tab for this week where he pulls in things from different sources and pulls it together in a this week tab. All
Even
those different
other hymn suggestions and some formulas that kind of pull that together. Mm-hmm. That's taking it to the next level.
Yeah, wouldn't expect anything less from our Wells Tech Hall of Famer, Pastor Gunther. So good job. And we've pulled all these resources together. We actually have a page, Martin, out on the Wells Tech Wiki called Worship Planning Materials. What better place to post links? I think I'll even add the video from today's show on this page. But all those different items that were shared are posted as files at the bottom of the page. So you could download those, read more about what they're doing, see some of the templates and things that are available. And I've also posted links to a lot of different things available from the Commission on Worship, including their Planning Christian Worship. I'll just show their page real quick. Right now it's out on the Connect website. And if you scroll down the worship page, there's a whole section of resources, and I picked and choose from those. But the Planning Christian Worship resources is the entire church year split between festival and non-festival for each of the years of the church year calendars. And so great resource. It's all that stuff that we just saw in the Google Calendar, but expanded upon and with the actual Bible text and things like that. And then a link is available from that page to the lectionary on Google Calendar, where you can learn about how to use it, how to bring it into your own website if you want, how to subscribe to it. All of that information is out on the Wells Tech Wiki as well.
Yeah, it's probably an appropriate time to remind our Wells Techers that going to the Wiki and contributing yourself is also okay. It's very easy to do. So if you have worship planning resources, everybody does worship planning. So everybody does it somehow. So if you feel that the way you do it is valuable to other people, just get over to the Wiki and get an account. You need to click that request an account button, and we will get you an account. Then you can go in and add your stuff.
Yep, that's the power of collaboration, and really a wonderful benefit for us to be able to share this page and folks to come here and find those resources. Very helpful.
You bet. So let's wrap up the discussion. We mentioned it at the top of the show. If you want to hear more about worship planning and many other tech in ministry types of topics, it's all happening this summer, July 9th through 11th in Waukesha, Wisconsin at the Wells Tech Conference, wells.net/wellstechconf. Let's move on to our news in tech section, news out of Google that might affect churches.
That's right, Martin. I think we've talked about this on the show before. Google announced, I think, probably near the beginning of the year, that they were going to change their search algorithms to identify sites that were mobile friendly. Not just identify them, but bump them up in the search results.
Up their rankings, yeah. So they're getting a little bit higher relevance to those that are mobile friendly. So that would be something that a church should be concerned with, that if your site is not mobile friendly, does not play well on iPads, iPhones, tablets, whatever smaller devices, then that would be just one more encouragement, one more reason. Maybe that's not the primary reason, but you definitely want to be a part of the mobile craze, because a lot of your visitors, if you look at your stats, more and more are coming on to your site from mobile devices.
Right. And Google has a page where you can actually put in the URL, the web address of your site, and test it to see if it passes their mobile-friendly test. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Now, a couple of caveats that I want to mention. This change is going to affect searches on mobile devices only. So the search on the traditional web on a desktop computer is going to have the traditional algorithm. It's going to give the search results the way it did yesterday. No change. But it's the searches that you do on your smartphone or your iPad or whatever device you have that's a mobile device, smaller screen, needs that mobile-friendly delivery.
Which makes sense. They're gonna degrade you because it's not going to be as good an experience if you come up with that search result and it's not mobile.
Yeah, this article that I found says that 40% of Fortune 500 websites aren't up to snuff. And those are the people with the money. So if they aren't quite mobile ready yet, that doesn't fare well for the rest of us.
So, but it's not that hard to get mobile friendly. There are lots of options out there. Final Web is doing a better job at that. WordPress templates out there. WordPress is your church or your kind of management system of choice. Lots of mobile friendly options available. Let's move on to our Wells Now section. And I wanted to share with everybody that lots of opportunities for marriage enrichment seminars are now available on the Wells website in all locations of the country. Our adult discipleship group has been very faithful in keeping these enrichment seminars available and out there. They've got some nice creative titles, and the people that run these are really gifted. Beginning with Pastor Randy Hunter, who's heading up these things, and they make sure that these keep going full steam ahead, and they get very good attendance, and they've been very well received. So we'll put a link in the show notes where this can be found on the Wells.net website. It's featured right now, but this is not just for couples that are in trouble, but ways to take your marriage to the next level through, obviously, the focus on God's word and what he has to say about marriage. So take a look at that page.
One more Wells Now mention, and that's related to the HomeNet listserv. I don't know if we've talked about HomeNet in quite a while on the show, Martin, but HomeNet is a private.
Very popular.
Yep. Popular email group. So if you are homeschooling your Wells students or and want to connect with other homeschool families, you can sign up for this email group. It's not publicly accessible. You can't really see the archives of it or anything like you can on the Wells Tech listserv. They keep it all private just for the families that are they're homeschooling. And recently, interesting discussion kind of spawned on the listserv about online Bible studies, and they were actually referencing the Wells online Bible studies that are adult Bible studies that are done on a semi-regular basis on Wednesday evenings. I think you can tune in and see your Bible study leader. There's resources associated with them, and then a chat window where people can ask questions and things like that. And they were wanting to find something like that for their teenage students. And actually, one of the pastors who subscribes to the listserv, his name is Charlie Hupp. He's at Plymouth, Wisconsin, and is a homeschool family, was willing to kind of cobble together a solution for that. So he is looking to get that started. And if you're interested in participating, it's obviously, you know, a brand new thing, and they're going to be testing the waters and figuring out the best way to accomplish it. But it's so wonderful that a pastor was willing to step in and kind of head up that effort, and he's got some experience to lend to the process. And I'm excited to see how that develops, and just wanted to give a quick shout out to HomeNet, and anyone who might be interested can head on over. We'll have a link in the show notes where you can get signed up for that listserv.
Yeah, I guess cobbled together is probably not the fairest characterization of what he's doing, because he's really, you know, got a nice plan in place that he's
absolutely
sure. He's really kind of thought through this, and I think this will be a success. So good deal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no disrespect intended.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And mine is Pinterest-centric. Imagine that. I actually was doing a little surfing around, and one of the people that I follow regularly and subscribe to her newsletters and things like that is a freelance artist. Her name is Carissa Nelson. We've actually had her on the podcast.
Yeah, all right.
She's a Wells gal out in Colorado doing a lot of really creative imagery. She actually supplies images for the Wells.net website at times, and just really gifted artist. And she has an Etsy site. She has a lot of different things going on, but one of the things I noticed recently in her e-newsletter was that she's on Pinterest. So I headed over to check out Carissa's boards on Pinterest. They're all really interesting, and you can check them out from the link that I provide. But one particular board caught my eye, and it's her church and school marketing board, where she's pulled together all kinds of resources around church and school marketing. Some of it's just general marketing, brochure layouts, things like that, that you can reference. But she also has very specific, you know, Christian-based ideas and marketing concepts that people have shared. She has different infographics and things, you know, related to using social media and things like that. She has just a wide variety of resources, school-focused resources. Sometimes all it takes is just seeing some of the concept art to give you an idea for a project you may be working on. And so, you know, just browsing her page occasionally and looking at how artists lay out different material for church and school events might be a big help to you. So I definitely followed the board on my personal Pinterest account. And even if you don't have a Pinterest account, you could just use the link and check out the board periodically and get ideas for your church and school marketing efforts. So thanks, Carissa, for putting that together for us. And we're happy to share it with our Wells Techers.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week, I just got to prep it here, is a little trick that you can use, and it's not even working. So I'm going to have to maybe go with plan B here, unfortunately. I was going to do this fancy thing, Sally, and share my iPhone screen, and it doesn't want to work. So
something's conflicting, maybe, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't want to share too many things at the same time. So let me just pull up the web page here where I can show you the instructions for doing this. And
this is important. This is why your tap dancing lessons come in.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to be a technology presenter.
Speaking of tap dancing, too much tapping is the name of the blog post. I struggle using the virtual keyboards on the phone, on smartphones, and even on tablets, I guess. And one of the nice things about both Android and iOS is you can create shortcuts. So what I've done is created shortcuts for all the things that I would, there it comes. So let me see if I can share this screen. Come on, technology. Let's see if we can share the right thing here. Oh, there it is. You should be seeing it here shortly.
I see it.
Okay, so this is my iPhone. And as I was saying, you know, bringing up that little keyboard and typing in things that you type in a lot, like your email address. Sometimes you go to sites and your email address is your login. So you got to type in your whole, you know, depending on how long your name is, find the at symbol, the period, blah, blah, blah. You fat finger it, you got to go back, blah, blah, blah. So there are ways around that. So on iOS, I was just going to demonstrate, if you go into settings, and you go into General, and then you scroll down to something called Keyboard. There's something there that says Shortcuts. And so you're looking at my shortcut screen, or at least a portion of it. And what you can do is create the shortcut term that you want to use, and then how you want it to be replaced. So under M, I've got my Gmail and my Wells for my email addresses. So all I have to do is type in my Gmail or my Wells, and it's going to predict that, hey, you must want to put in your email. All I have to do is hit space, and away it goes. Another use I have for it is for capitalization. So I type God a lot for whatever reason in my emails. And iOS doesn't capitalize God, and I almost always want to capitalize God. So what I've done is put a little shortcut in there for G-O-D, and then the fuller version of that has a capital. So whenever I type G-O-D and hit space, it's going to replace it with the full name. So let me just do a quick addition. I kind of pulled this one out so I could do it. So I'm going to hit the plus in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. And the phrase that another phrase that I type a lot is Wells. So I'm going to type in my capital W-E-L-S. And then under the shortcut, it's going to be small lowercase W-E-L-S. And I'll hit save. So now whenever I go to my keyboard, and I'll just maybe open up a, what's safe here? I'll text Sally something here. If I type in W-E-L-S.
Capitalize the first letter.
Yep. It did. That's probably not the greatest example. But I was able to find the larger spelling, the capitalized spelling, just by typing that in. So it has a lot of different uses, very creative uses, and it works the same on, or works similarly on Android and on iOS. Just a huge time saver. You can type in full sentences. So normally my shortcuts all start with a period, because normally you're not starting something with a period. So period, V, whatever, some unlikely set of characters that you're not going to type on an irregular basis. You just have to remember what your shortcut is, and then you can have whole sentences or paragraphs. I don't know what the physical limit is, but just a nice way to avoid, really struggling with those virtual keyboards.
You know, we joked with Matt Weslow that our brains were kind of slipping, and it was nice to use some tools for that. I'm thinking your brain must be a lot bigger than mine, because shortcuts are hard for me to remember. So I just have like three on my phone, and I use them. And
they're you do use it, right?
Mainly email related. But I think if I had to remember a whole bunch, and all the keyboard shortcuts I remember, and you switch often between Mac and PC, and keyboard shortcuts are different on them.
I try and keep those the same,
It's challenging, but it is super helpful and time saving if you set them up and you can remember them.
And it'll work wherever that keyboard pops up, which is kind of nice. So it can be in an email, it can be in a text message, it can be if you're typing in a notes file or Evernote or whatever it is.
Or pinning something to Pinterest or anything like that.
That too. I often use it that way.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. So that is my pick of the week. Hopefully that is helpful, those keyboard shortcuts. We'll have a link in the show notes to an article that walks you through how to do that on iOS and on Android. Let's move on to community feedback.
First up in community feedback today is a link from our friend Jason Schmidt. He shared from the NASA Educational Resources a Rockets Educator Guide. And so they've put together this education guide for grades levels K through 12 to teach about rockets. And they have a huge list of links all about rockets. So if you're interested in introducing your students to rockets, rocket power, and doing some cool experiments with rockets, all kinds of stuff, they have it here for you on this NASA page. So check that out, NASA's Educational Resources.
Yeah, spring is the time where you can get outside and do some of those outside types of science projects. So Jason must spend a little time with NASA on NASA sites, because this is not the first time he's recommended a NASA-related resource. So a boom for you science teachers.
Not the first time I've related something that's on Pinterest either. So this is one I pinned to the Wells Tech board. It's titled E-Learning Trends to Follow in 2015, a nice infographic. I want to say it's from Edutopia. We'll have to see when we get to the bottom. But, there's a lot going on in educational technology, and I think they've boiled down some of the biggest things that you should be paying attention to. Maybe you aren't on the cutting edge, but still, it's good to be aware of what's going on and what's coming your way and what expectations might be in terms of educational technology trends. And this one lists big data, Numbers in e-learning are becoming so large that processing user-generated data using traditional methods is becoming impossible. So helping kids have a deeper understanding of big data. Gamification, one of my favorite topics, where more and more games in education and leaderboards and badge systems and things like that are becoming more and more popular. Personalization, so that the learning can take on the characteristics needed by the learner. It's not one size fits all anymore, but it's adjusted based on learning needs and things like that. And then M-learning. Here we go again with the mobile theme for our show, I guess, Martin. But mobile learning is more and more dominant, more and more devices in students' hands. So designing learning environments for mobile delivery is very popular. So just some e-learning trends to follow in 2015.
Nice.
All right. One quick mention. We mentioned the listserv earlier being such a huge benefit to us as we ask questions about worship planning. Another question that was out on the listserv this week came from our friend Gail Potratz. And Gail was asking about the 2014 Smart Notebook software, including the additional math package, just trying to make contact with anyone that's using that and find out if it's been worth the effort to upgrade to that version and what the experience has been. And so if you have information about that software, it's the 2014 Smart Notebook software, it would be great to connect with Gail and share what you know. So be sure to check that out. And then finally, and Martin, I'm hoping maybe you've had a chance to peruse this article. Rob Gunther sent us an article about online giving. It's an article from Church Mag. It's titled Four Giving Statistics Every Church Should Know.
Yeah, and they're really brief, so it's not a long read, but I think it's helpful to at least give a quick high-level overview. So some of their stats aren't totally up to date, but some of this takes a long time to gather. So in 2011, professing Christians in America gave 2.3% of their income to the church. And it kind of goes into a little bit of an analysis of what that really means, where they're saying, well, that sounds low, but how low is it? And so it gives a little bit of perspective. During the Great Depression, Christians were putting in 3.3, and then talks about some other figures that maybe give that a little bit more meaning. Number two is 74% of Americans say they write no more than one check per month. And we've talked about that on the show before, Sally, where the checkbook is becoming less and less a tool that people use. So what does that mean for the church with e-giving and credit card giving, those kinds of things? Number three was 59% of mature donors, that is donors over the age of 66, gave a gift online in 2014. So that may be one of those objections that you can't make anymore for kind of getting into that. Well, we're going to leave behind some of our digital dinosaurs, and that's no longer true. And then a prediction by 2018, mobile devices will account for 57% of all internet traffic, and that kind of speaks to the conversation we had earlier about the importance of having a mobile-friendly website. Google recognizes it. Matt Wesolow recognizes it. So it's definitely something that needs to be on our minds as church leaders too. So that's just the tease there. Go and read the article and just some things to chew on there.
Definitely. All right. I think that's going to do it for community feedback for this week, Martin.
Okay, a couple of ministry resources then that we wanted to share. Some of you may have received an email from the good folks at Concordia Technology Solutions that Shepherd Staff, their church management software, this is the server client-based software, not the web-based version, is 25% off, and that is until May 31st. So you have until the end of next month. There's a promo code there. So if you're thinking about getting into that software, still very valid tool to use. We still highly recommend it. You can get it on a cheaper price there. You may want to compare that to what we get as a discount through our ShopWells program, so make sure you compare and contrast. And if you're calling them up wondering about pricing, make sure you mention you're a Wells Church, and they'll make sure that you get the best price possible. But it looks like they're definitely discounting that. It also includes training as well. So,
yeah. And if you are able to join us at Wells Tech Conference this summer, you can meet Peter Frank, who is the lead software developer for Shepherd Staff. That's
product,
right.
Product manager. Yeah. We've had him on the show a couple of times already. And so if you want to bone up on your church management skills, that would be a great session to take.
And then finally, I received an email about Proclaim's freebie of the month. So Proclaim is church presentation software. We've talked about it in the past on the show, Martin. I think there was a congregation in, I can't remember the town in Michigan, but that is using Proclaim. Jason Potoski and his pastor, drawing a blank, joined us and told us all about it. Proclaim has an e-newsletter.
Wyoming,
Michigan. There you go. You've got some brain cells left. Good job.
just used them up right there.
So they offer a freebie of the month, and it seems to be a trend. I think we talked about Lightstock offering some freebies each week if you sign up for their e-newsletter. So because I signed up, I can just come here and get my free media, put in my email address, get my free media. So if you're looking for some sources for free media, it doesn't hurt to see what they're offering and take advantage of it. You never know when you might be able to make use of it in your congregation or school.
That's it for Ministry Resources. We would love it if you would share anything that you feel is worth sharing with the rest of the Wells Tech listeners and viewers. WellsTech.wells.net is the site. You can email us, WellsTech@wells.net. You'll find us on Pinterest, of course, but also Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and listserv that we've mentioned a few times on the show. Just go to the site and you'll find all that stuff in the upper right-hand corner, and you'll be able to connect with us that way. So, cool stuff. Next week, Sally, where are we going?
Next week, we're going to have Gil Potratz join us.
We're going to school. That was your little lead-in.
Sorry.
Where are we going? We're going to school.
We are. We're going to school, Martin, and we're going to talk about God's Word and hymnology in school.
I'm excited about those
resources for doing that. Yep. We've done a series all the spring with our co-host on our education-focused school education shows. Wow.
All those words fit in there somewhere.
Time to call it quits.
Get all the right words.
And this is yet another in that series, and I'm looking forward to having Gail join us. She always brings great stuff to the table. So,
God's Word and Hymnology. I'm looking forward to that topic.
You threw me off because you didn't go in order here, because we're supposed to talk about our featured video. I think you skipped right over.
That's my fault, and I don't even know what our featured video is.
I have it up and ready to go.
You go for it.
It's actually from Planning Center Online. We heard Matt Weslow talk about using Planning Center Online, and we found a whole series of videos, short little snippets. This one's about 5 minutes that gets you started, gives you a guided tour. So if you're curious to learn more about Planning Center Online, this looks like a great place to start. And we'll embed the video on our show notes page. And from there, you should be able to get to the rest of the series and learn about setting up people for positions, scheduling and emailing your people, media tutorials, and more. It looks like they even have one on their music stand, which sounds like something Matt and his
product,
crew are using. So check out the video embedded on the Wells Tech page.
Okay. Sally, sorry for throwing you off there.
That's okay. You're forgiven.
I used those brain cells earlier, and they were by the time I hit the end of the show. So
that's quite all right.
You take potluck after that. All right. Thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate both your viewership, your listenership, and your participation. And looking forward to seeing some of you this summer. But hoping to see all of you next week, Tuesdays, 4 o'clock every week. Thanks, Sally. Talk to you later.